Welcome to Weekly Winners. It is September 12th, the first football Sunday of the year. We opened up with a really good one on Thursday. What a game between, you know, the Cowboys and the Bucks going down to the wire. Shocker, Brady leading a game-winning drive at the end. But this has got to be the best Cowboys fans have felt about a loss in a long time. They looked good. Dak looked really good.
Don't get me wrong. With like the third play of the game, the announcer's like, this is the Dak we'd expect to see in week 12. I'm like, okay, that's a little early. Like, we're three plays in. But he lived up to the announcer's hype.
First half, even I said he didn't look as good as his stat line showed. Like, there's a couple of missed plays. It was just kind of he was completing the passes, but it didn't look as crisp as I thought he looked last year. But the second half, he just continued doing it and obviously threw for 400 yards. So he's looking to be right back and picking up where he was last year. Big thing on that game, though. How did it feel seeing those single-digit numbers on running backs and cornerbacks?
So Tom Brady was very vocal about how bad that was going to be at the quarterback position. And Aaron Rodgers actually backed him up on that.
Yeah, I could see it.
Just because it's just been so engraved in their brains, like those vets. Yeah. Like the young guys will be used to it just coming out of college, you can be whatever number you want.
Right.
But no, Tom Brady was very vocal against the whole kind of laxed numbers thing. Did seem a little weird. Like, what, Leonard Fournette, number 7?
Yeah.
That seemed a little weird.
It was a little bizarre, but...
I feel like it should have been like that from the start, though. Maybe. Like, there's no reason that... Like, why do certain positions have to be certain numbers?
Right.
I wonder what the initial, like, logic to that was.
Right. It's just... it's eligibility on offense. It shouldn't matter on defense at all, really, but... I guess once you assign an alignment a set of numbers, like the offensive lineman set of numbers, it kind of, and then pass catchers, everyone else kind of fell into place. Like, oh, we're just kind of doing this now. But
right.
I don't know. It's it'll take a little getting used to, for sure. But
yeah, I think it's the Seahawks. They're going 1-2-3-4 with their corners.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, I'm guessing there's a lot of guys on every team gunning for number one.
Right. These teams are playing like I play franchise on Madden, right? Put my wide receivers number 1-5, like.
Right.
Just.
I don't know. It's interesting. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, but our bets for that Thursday night game, I performed exactly how. Kind of went how I said it was. One of these guys was going to go off between Evans and Godwin and the Bucks money line. A little closer for comfort than I would have liked, but I go up about a half unit based on that, 1-1, what I expected to do. You bet several more lines, and one big one hit for you.
Yeah, so that Godwin first touchdown, he actually – scored, I think it was the first touchdown in like 4 or 5 games last year.
Yeah.
He's a big, slot receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the Bucks last year, early on, they ran the ball a little more, but like when they kind of got in their groove, they were definitely a pass first team.
Yeah.
And I kind of just anticipated like why. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. They won the Super Bowl as a pass-first team.
Right.
Like, and speaking of that, though, like, what do you think about Ronald Jones just getting straight benched after the fumble? Nothing.
I saw a lot of people hyping up, like, if you're in a dynasty league, go get Ronald Jones right now because there are zero, like, running back free agents besides him next year. And, like, he'll just get signed somewhere. If they're just not going to use them, if it's going to be Fournette's team, like.
Yeah, and I'm guessing they're planning on letting one of the two go. You don't go and pick up a third down back.
You're not going to win or be competitive for a third straight year by like paying Ronald Jones even like $5 million a year. Like,
right. But even if you look at it, you can't – right now they were splitting carries last year, and now you get a definitive third down back. So what, are you running Ronald Jones on first, Fournette on second, right, yeah, you know, Giovanni on third?
It just doesn't make sense, no.
It does not at all make sense. And I'm sure Ronald Jones will get another shot.
He has enough tape out there where he looks good. But yeah, let's kind of get into our preview of the week. We're going to talk about every game. We both have plenty of bets to, you know, going into this week. First up, Cardinals Titans. Cardinals, a team you're very high on this. We're both high, but they're kind of your darling team for the year. They're traveling to Tennessee and getting 3 points on the road. Pretty standard lines. 52 for your over under.
Yeah, so I feel like, I mean, there's some stat out there. It's like 70 or 75% of games hit the over week one and two, just because there's not a lot of tape out there for defenses to study.
Yeah.
And that's a game where I don't think either defense is bad, but neither defense is elite, if that makes sense. But both of those offenses are fringe, you know, elite.
Mm-hmm. Saw it from the Cardinals last year for sure. We'll see what the blend is with the Titans between,
right,
you know, pounding with Derrick Henry and, you know, throwing it up to AJ Brown or Julio. So that'll be interesting to see.
You just got to assume that they're a borderline top five offense with like just the skill.
Yeah.
They might not put up the points of a top five offense.
No one has three weapons like the Titans do. We've talked about it before.
So I just think with that and the fact that like neither defense you can really consider elite, I'm taking the over 52 on that game. And I'm also parlaying that with Cardinals money line. The money line bet is definitely just me. It's a little bit of me just wanting them to win
because
that's a big game. Like if they want to, they play in the toughest division in football. If they want to make the playoffs, this is a game they don't need it, but it's going to help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's not a lot of rationale. Just looking at these two teams, I think that should be closer to even. You know, I don't really think the Titans – all the Titans have on the Cardinals in this game is that it's at home. I guarantee if this was at Arizona, that line's probably flipped the other way.
Definitely.
So, I don't know. I just like the Cardinals in it, so I parlayed money line and over 52, and that's at plus 359.
This could be a whoever has the ball last wins type game.
And so that's what I thought too. And I think the Cardinals are more built to have the ball last, to get on that last play or last like drive.
I think it's such a toss up, which is why I'm not betting any of the lines or the over under in this game. I found a line I like with Chase Edmonds though, minus 118 to go over 38.5 rush yards. I think he'll just, like we said, the Titans defense, fine, not spectacular. If Chase Edmonds can find 10 carries, I don't see this really being an issue for him. All it takes is, you know, one solid 8-10 yard rush and you're ahead of pace for this. I just think he sees the opportunity and it's not even that much of an opportunity that he needs to hit this number.
Right. And I mean, they do have James Conner, but it's not.
Well, I know. Firsthand, James Conner stinks.
Right. Well, it's not, you know, 2017 James Conner, 2018. Right. He's fine.
They wore him.
But he's not one of those definitive RB1 backs.
They just wore him out. It took only like 2 years, but they just wore him out. He just doesn't seem to have that much left in him. Moving on to the Jaguars-Texans. And to bet, I think I talked you into over the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's the Texans money line. Yeah, a home dog against a rookie quarterback, and it is with a brand new coach, and it is simple as that.
And the fact, so the Jaguars defense is worse than the Texans.
Yeah.
Just, that's a fact. Like, why are we all doubting Tyrod Taylor?
I'm not. Like, I'm starting him in fantasy this week. That is unless. Yeah, still starting him in fantasy this week.
The trade did not process.
I think I have a message, but I can wait. not too much longer, though. Don't have too long to hold off on that one. But, yeah, it's not going to be a very exciting game. I'll probably tune in for a little bit just to see what Lawrence looks like. I'll definitely see his highlights at the end of the game, but it's bold to, like, everyone knows and thinks he is going to be a star, but it's so bold to be like, he's going to hit the ground, like, running and, like, you know, be 300 yards and 3 touchdowns game one. It's just, I'm very comfortable taking the plus 145 that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And I'm the same way. I personally, I don't think Lawrence will have that great of a game. I think this will be a close enough game that they're going to heavily lean on the run just to kind of wean them in. Because, mm-hmm. you know, rookie quarterbacks in today's NFL don't have the luxury of, okay, we're going to sit you for 2 years behind this Hall of Fame quarterback
right.
where you can learn the ropes. It's no, we're throwing you in and you're going to have to play. So I think the Jags will kind of wean them in with the run a little bit
in
the first few weeks.
I hadn't really thought about this. We all thought about, like, the adjustment for Urban Meyer from college to the pros. But almost more of an adjustment is, how do you handle losing for a coach who hasn't had to deal with
right.
much losing in a decade?
Right.
Decades. Like, this less pertaining to this game, but how do you react when you're 1-4?
Yeah, I don't know.
Never really know. And it's, you could, a guy like that could lose a locker room quick. I'm not wishing failure on him, but, you know, college, these guys are professionals. You can't be like, terrible game out there last week, guys. That was pathetic. Everyone get on the line. We're running wind sprints. They're just not going to respect you like that. Right. You just can't coach like that in the NFL. And so we'll see how he adjusts. Moving on to a very, I've heard a lot about this game. Chargers go into Washington to match up with a football team. They're catching a point. So 1 point dogs for the road team. It's pretty much as close as they get. It could be a pick 'em if they wanted. And let me let you in a little secret here. That football team, they're winning their division.
They are.
Unfortunately, so are the Chargers. So I got the Chargers minus 115 in this one. I believe that you can get a little bit juicier odds on that now. We bet these a couple days ago. We kind of went over our lines. So, you know, you take what you can get. Some will help us. Some will hurt us. So we'll make note of it if we think a line has majorly moved since we took it. But just know that, you know, 5-10 here and there, it's going to be, your odds might be a little bit different. And that might just change from sportbook to sportbook as well.
Yeah. This game, my gut tells me the football team is going to win. Mm-hmm. I just don't like it enough to bet on it. And I searched and searched through the player props, and I just didn't like any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Herbert, I think he was like low to mid 200s, like passing yards. Justin Herbert could very well go out there and be Justin Herbert. But the Washington football team could very well go out there and put up an incredible defense.
Oh, it's very possible.
I don't like any lines, any player props, and I am not touching this game. I wish the Cardinals-Titans game wasn't on, because I would love to watch that game.
For sure.
Even though in this household, the Steelers game.
Oh, we will get there. The next game, Vikings at Bengals. I've seen this as such a trendy underdog. You know, get your home dog Bengals, like, give them plus 3, sprinkle the money line. Like, let's not get too cute here. The Vikings are better than the Bengals by a significant margin. Give me the Vikings minus 3 here and watch them win by 7 or 10.
Yeah, very, very similar thought process on my end, but I don't know why, but when I see a plus in front, in front of those lines,
yeah,
when I see a plus, it just makes me want to bet it even more. Mm-hmm. So I moved that line by half a point, Vikings minus 3.5 for plus 105.
Yeah, I just, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe they win by 4. You know, buy yourself all that little extra, but
personally, yeah. I don't think it'll be that close.
I don't think so either. One team has the better offense and defense pretty decisively.
Right.
Perhaps at the end of the year, we're changing our tune about the offense, but I doubt there is. Like, sure, it's Kirk Cousins, but it's also Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen.
Mark. Right. But no, I seriously contemplated. It was either I was going to take it like minus 3.5 or move it to like 6.5.
Yeah, it'll crazy with it.
Like, I really don't think it'll be that close of a game.
Mm-hmm. Sure, for sure. After that, we got the Sam Darnold revenge game. Jets at Panthers. Jets getting 5.5. Which I would have guessed it would be more like a plus three, minus three line. Felt a little closer than that. But where it stands, I don't really like either side. They're, you know, 5.5. It just seems it's right in the middle there where it's, you know, 5, not really the football number. Not seeing a lot of, you know, 5-point victories. You got to hope right. that it's, you know, if you're betting on taking the Jets, that it's, you know, they're losing by 3 or 4 more likely, so that, you know, 5.5 isn't helping you too much. It's a weird line. Don't see a lot of them in that realm. So what I'm going with, despite your overstat, I like the under here. 44.5. It's 2 new quarterbacks on 2 teams that aren't extremely talented. I mean, the Panthers have some weapons, but, you know, we don't know about Darnold. A lot of people are high on his potential this year. And I don't dislike Darnold, but similar to the Colts, who we'll get to later, a change of scenery doesn't guarantee an uptick in production. So, and if we are going to see it, I doubt we see it week one. And the Jets have added pieces to make their defense better. Right. So I like the under here, 44.5. Kind of, I just don't see it being a 28-21 type game.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Christian McCaffrey could score 3 touchdowns, and that might be the only 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, it'll be 21-10. Pretty right. easy.
I once again did not bet this game. I advocate hard for Sam Darnold. I love him to death, and I think he was just hit with the curse of being drafted by that terrible organization that is the Jets. I love him so much, but I need to see it first before I'm willing to bet on the kid.
I was a large advocate of what's it going to cost here. Why wouldn't the Steelers give up like a 4th-round pick to bring him in to see what you have?
Right,
like he's instantly has like better weapons, a way better defense. Like he's just in such a better situation. Like maybe just work, maybe just clicks. But
yeah, no, I love the kid. I'd like to see it first. Yeah, that's all.
So gets his old team. It's a great opportunity to show it.
Right.
Next up, we got Eagles going to the Falcons. Only 3-point underdogs for the Eagles. 48.5 the line. I would lean Falcons minus 3 here, but, you know, Hurts did, and I don't believe it hurts, but that Falcons defense isn't good.
Oh, no.
So, like, he might be able to just run all over them, you know, sling it around a little bit. I mean, we went over it with our underdog picks. I like Devonta Smith, have a lot of receptions in this game. But the line I love here is Matt Ryan. Get him over 2.5 passing touchdowns for plus 189. This Eagles defense is bad too.
Oh, Matt Ryan's going to throw the ball 45 times.
At least he's going to throw it all over the field. You got Kyle Pitts there. You know, you got your boy Russell Gage, who's going to, you know, be stepping into kind of that WR2 role. And obviously, I mean, we talked about it with our player props, but you got to find out if Calvin Ridley can be a one, but he's caught plenty of touchdowns over the past couple of years. So I'm hopeful for this line. I can't believe I'm getting at almost 2-1 odds, plus over 2.5. Just I don't see, you know, the Falcons getting 2 rushing touchdowns really in this game.
Right. One of my out there parlays I have has Matt Ryan at least 3, so essentially the same.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so I do have 2 bets, which if we turn back to the Jets game, I actually did have a player prop.
Okay.
Tevin Coleman over 50 rushing yards for plus 175. RB1 rookie wideout.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina defense isn't much.
Right.
You know.
It's so hard with week one. Like he could, like we saw with Ronald Jones, it could just be like, why did Tevin Coleman get like 4 carries? Or it could be like, hey, they gave him the rock like 20 times.
Right.
Like, it's hard to know what that game plan is going to be.
I just like it with the rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
So, okay. But now, Falcons game. This is actually my lock of the week. Falcons minus 3 and minus 115. I'm a Falcons believer, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Believe in them so much to bet a season-long prop that they don't lose a road game for plus 100,000.
You know the last time that's happened?
No.
I said that like I did, but that was a question.
I really don't. I'm a Falcons believer. I may or may not have only put $10 on that bet, but hey, I would take a nice 10 grand in the bank.
Wouldn't account. Be too bad.
But no, so that's my lock of the week. The Eagles just don't really seem like they want Jalen Hurts.
No, I'm pretty sure.
And there's got to be a reason for it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he played pretty well when given the opportunity at the end of last year, but there's just, I don't know, there's just something there that is kind of a feels question off. Mark.
For sure.
And like I said, Matt Ryan, no one would be shocked if he throws for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a lock. I almost took the over. I just don't know how much the Eagles are going to score.
Yeah.
That's and then Russell Gage, kind of my boy. For anyone who picked him up halfway through the year last year in fantasy, you're well aware he's boom or bust very hard.
Yeah.
So I kind of moved his line a little bit. I believe it was at 53 receiving yards for the game. I moved it to 103, and here's why. So, you know, Ridley is obviously going to be the primary guy they're mm-hmm. going to try to lock down. I think they're going to try to lock down Pitts. You know, they're going to view Pitts as that second guy,
mm-hmm.
and I just don't know if he'll be there game one. Do I think Pitts is a very, very good tight end long-term? Yes, but it's game one of his NFL career.
I think this is another we don't know the game plan type thing. Like right. A buzzkill for you could be that Kyle Pitts is lining up basically in the slot, like spread out on like 40% of snaps, which is going to way increase his targets.
Oh, yeah, and that very well could. I don't know. I'm just willing to bet that Russell Gage is at plus 488. You know, let's call it plus 500. He's only, for me to break even, he's got to do a one out of every 6 games. I'm willing to bet he does.
Gotcha, yeah.
You know, that's kind of my thought process. I'm thinking in the long term, you get paid on that bet.
Mm. So you said Falcons minus 3 is your lock of the week. Remind me when we get to mine. I've got a little proposition for you.
Okay.
On our locks. But moving on, Steelers at Bills. Steelers catching 6.5, which I've also kind of heard as a trendy underdog pick. I don't bet on my teams during the season, like on lines like this, full transparency, at the start of pretty much every season, I put a fairly hefty bet on my team to win the championship. It's the reason I paid rent with the Bucks when the Bucks won the championship this year with that money. But so did that. You won't really see me pounding my fist each week. Steelers plus 6.5, Steelers minus 3 every week. I just kind of don't do it. I know I'm enough of a homer. And those of you who have listened to more than one episode know I'm too much of a homer to that my views just clouded on. I don't bet on my team like that. And I fundamentally don't bet against my team, because that's, unless I'm in a Aaron Rodgers type holdout hiatus against my team, I'm burned or scouted against them, which I'm not. I want them to win, so I don't want to bet against them. That being said, Steelers defense is outstanding. They just paid TJ Watt. It's going to be one of the best units in the league. And the Bills had an excellent draft where they added a good pass rush, which is going to test this young, new Steelers offensive line. So give me the under 48.5 here. I just really think this smells like a slobber knock or a real low score. The Steelers are going to run a lot more than they did last year. I just think it's going to kind of be a lot, especially with the pass rushes on both teams, along with the stellar secondaries. It's going to be a lot of three and outs. Just quick, couple of incompletions, and the drive's kind of over. I just, 40.5 is just too high for me for this game.
Yeah, I actually hammered that same bet, under 48.5. Mm-hmm. This just feels to me like a 13-7, 13-10 ball game, something in that vicinity. I mean, I'd be shocked if any team scores more than 20. That Steelers defense is just so good. Yeah. Like, Josh Allen is Josh Allen, but...
Right, he could just do something special, but...
But I think him doing something special would be them scoring 21 points. Right. Like, that's really what I think about that Steelers defense. Mm-hmm.
And here we go. Not a long wait, but my lock of the week. A game a lot of people probably didn't anticipate. 49ers going to Detroit. They are Lions 7.5-point dogs at home, which is – I almost bet that out of principle. Getting 7.5 at home week one. With a team that, you know, what obviously problems with injuries last year, but was not very good last year. Everyone's kind of anointed the 49ers as this contender now, which obviously they're going to be improved, but let's see it first.
Mm-hmm.
But stayed away from that line. Lock of the week, I mean, under 45. This Lions offense is Jared Goff and not much else. And this 49ers defense is really good. And the 49ers are starting Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. Are
the 49ers going to score 35 points to cover this over? No. And even if they do, Lions might not score 10. So this line should be at 38. This under feels automatic to me, and that's why it's my lock of the week. And that's why I'm confident offering up this bet for our season-long head-to-head lock of the weeks. No odds or anything, just record on locks of the week. Loser has to buy and wear an NFL jersey of the winner's choice on an episode. The humiliation of, I immediately popped in my head, I know you'd probably choose for me. Be pretty bad for me to wear Brady Patriots jersey. I wouldn't enjoy that at all. I've got a few ideas kicking around for what a Packers fan wouldn't like to be seen in. Maybe a Vikings Favre.
Vikings Favre would be tough. Favre would be tough. Don't do a Dalvin Cook. I love the kid.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It pains me to say it. I just love Dalvin
Cook. Right. There's putting you in the, you know, the purple and yellow, but then there's it's got to be a player that, you know, broke your heart a little bit.
Right.
Like you put me in a Baker almost be worse. I had to own a Baker jersey. Like, you know, you could put me in, you know, Ravens purple and black, but and I wouldn't like it. But like, Tom Brady's like giving me way more heartbreak than any team in that division has.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I'll take you up on it. So we're just doing the record.
Just record, yeah. We'll figure out something if there's a tie, but.
Yeah, there is 18 weeks now.
Right.
There's a tie, we both have.
No.
We'll figure something.
Yeah.
So yeah, that Niners-Lions game, I'm not betting it. I'm kind of the same boat as you in the fact that, like, I'll see it when I believe it from the Niners. Mm-hmm. I really do think they'll cover, but I guess you never truly know. I mean, Lions, new QB, new head coach, new WR one or two. I forget what they're.
I don't know what they put them on the depth for.
But you know, a little offensive shakeup.
Right. None of their running backs are criminals.
Right.
That's their development.
But yeah, lots of unknowns. I don't really like to bet games with unknowns.
Yeah.
Unknowns on both sides.
I can't really blame you for not wanting to invest any energy in this game tomorrow. But I'll be very invested with my lock of the week. Moving on, Seahawks at Colts, your typical. I don't think Vegas knows what's going on in this game. I can't blame them because I don't either. Away team, you know, it's -3. Seahawks -3. Colts catching 3 at home, which is intriguing. Some that I've seen over under 50, pretty standard lines. I was thinking about the Seahawks here, but then I kind of looked back. The Seahawks, for as respected as Pete Carroll is as a coach, you know, and you don't really like to give those good coaches time to prepare. The Seahawks are horrendous in week ones. They're just really bad over the past 3 or 4 years. They lose to teams they shouldn't. They, you know, they don't put up fights against good teams that they play. But I also don't believe in the Colts. And I think the Seahawks are down this year. So, I'm not taking either side of this. I like Jonathan Taylor over 75 rush yards for +104. Again, it's an opportunity thing. He's very talented. This Colts offensive line is excellent, and the Seahawks defense isn't what it used to be. 75 yards seems, you know, I don't think anyone is surprised at a 90 or 100-yard game any week out of Jonathan Taylor, just with how this team is, you know, put together and what you think their game plan will be. Like, are they going to ask Carson Wentz to do that much, especially coming off, you know, injury and COVID? I just don't think so. I think they'll lean on him this game.
Yeah, so this one kind of felt like a pick'em. I'm not a strong enough believer in Carson Wentz.
No.
I'm taking the Seahawks -3 at even odds. I don't believe in Carson Wentz. It's as simple as that. Mm. I mean, one good season. Other than that, I mean.
Not even.
Right. He only played like 14 games of it. But yeah, that's what it boils down to.
We don't know that he's good. And there's a clause in the trade that, like, about him even playing like half the games. Like, even if he is good, like, he might not play.
Right.
The whole season, he probably won't, just the way his career's gone. Moving now to a game that I initially wasn't going to bet. It's Browns at Chiefs. Browns getting 6.5 on the road. Seemed about right, and I was going to stay away. And like I said, I think the Chargers are going to win that division this year. So I'm a little lower on the Chiefs than others. But at the end of the day, it's Andy Reid with more than a week to prepare. And it's Patrick Mahomes in September. Give me Chiefs -6.5 here. It's easy as that. I feel like that is all I need to justify it. Both of those things have been bad in 1,000 over the past. Well, let's not count the Super Bowl, but
yeah. So I didn't bet this game, and I wanted to take Chiefs -6.5, but no, I'm just sitting there looking at like season long props, mm-hmm. and it's Browns plus 2,000 to take last in that division before all the Ravens injuries. You know, Browns like plus 200 to win the division. All those odds just seem so, like they seem way too good or way too high. I mean, like, I feel like the Browns should be like plus 400 to win that division before the Ravens injuries.
Right.
It just feels like Vegas knows something that
it's a complete roster. It's just
right.
It's kind of Lester's kind of weird. Like Baker was better when Odell was out. Like, what's that all about? And now he's back. Is he gonna like just? You know, he hasn't been Giants Odell in several years now. Like,
it just it seems to me like sportsbooks don't want you to bet Browns winning the division.
Yeah.
Or that's kind of the vibe I'm getting, and I don't know why, and that's kind of why I'm staying away from them playing a good team.
Well, before all the Ravens injuries, the Ravens were the prohibitive favorite in that division over the Browns, slightly over the Browns, but that always confused me. I just like look at the Browns roster and the roster moves that the Ravens had made. I just didn't see how the Browns weren't the favorite. So that was always kind of weird to me.
I don't see how the Steelers, in my eyes, it is the Steelers division.
Okay,
I am sorry, Jer, but because that probably is the biggest jinx ever. But
yeah,
I just don't see the Browns. I'm just staying away from this. It seems like bookies don't want you to bet on the Browns to be good, and therefore I'm not going to bet against them.
Perfectly comfortable with this, the Chiefs bet here. We go to Broncos at Giants. Giants, another home dog, plus 3 at home against a Teddy Bridgewater led Broncos team. Excellent defense on both sides of this. Thought about the under, but it's at 41.5, which is you can fluke over 41.5.
Right.
And I'm certainly not going to take the Giants plus 3 because, you know, it's Teddy Spready Bridgewater. He covers. It's what he does. He might not win, but he covers. So despite that, I won't take the line, but I will take the money line. I'm taking the Giants money line here. They're at home. They have good defense, and they have way more weapons on their offense than the Broncos do. And I like Teddy Bridgewater, but is he like definitely better than Daniel Jones? It's possible, but I just think I just don't think the Broncos are going to be able, they'll have a good defense, but they won't be able to score to support it. Unless that defense is so dominant that it's giving them like drive starting in opponents. The right. Opponent side of the field, but like you can't count on that more than like once a game.
Yeah. So I don't know why I have no bet written by this game when I definitely put real money on the Giants money line. Mm-hmm. I just think they're the better team. Just top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Like I think they both have very good defenses, but the Giants offense is just significantly
the Giants,
but like the Broncos have a lot of weapons on offense, but we just haven't seen them all come together.
No, definitely not, but you could see the potential there. Like what's the world where the Broncos are scoring even 21 a week? Like what's that look like?
Right,
who's scoring all those touchdowns?
Right, like I'm very high on Jerry Jeudy. I think he's gonna be great, but like
he's not gonna score a touchdown every week.
But like great is like 10, maybe 12 touchdowns a season. Like, I mean, we haven't seen a lot from Javonte Williams.
No. Yeah, I like the Giants as a home dog here. Plus 140 at home is when week one, when we really don't know that much, is good value. If we go to Jacksonville for Packers at Saints, obviously the Saints will be, I think, will not play in New Orleans in September, I believe, is the current word on that. Unfortunate for them, a team I'm high on. this game just it just feels weird to me. It's pretty much the only one I'm not gonna bet. I just don't really see a side that I like on. I could talk myself in and out of all of these bets.
Right. I typically don't bet Packers lines. I am in this one. I'm taking them at -4.5. I just think it's more so because I kind of want Rodgers to do what he needs to do so he doesn't look like a complete buffoon this offseason. He needs to go out there and be an MVP again. Otherwise, all of his antics and stuff this offseason, he just looks stupid.
Yeah.
And I think he'll do that. And I'm also just not confident that the Saints offense will be running on full cylinders, ready to go week one.
Yeah, I definitely see it. I just think it's people have kind of accepted that the Packers offense will just be like, oh, well, he's back. Like, no repercussions from all that going on. Like, we're all back on the same page here. Like, it's possible that it happens, but we're to assume that it's like definitely just going to be the same as last year.
I feel comfortable saying him and Tay and Aaron Jones, like that trio, will be on the same page.
Yeah,
that's it, though.
That's it. It's possible. But like, it's that might be enough, but
right.
I mean, them trying to resign Devontae and get a stern no for when trying to extend them. So
that, which makes me think Rodgers is gone after this year. Yeah. But that's a whole other discussion.
Here is a game where Dolphins at Patriots. Dolphins are 3-point dogs on the road, +130. I had that +130 circled for weeks. I really was comfortable with the Dolphins this week. And a couple hours ago, I got cold feet. I took that bet off my board. Something about it, the Patriots, it just feels, you know, my whole theme was going to be, I'm getting underdog teams against rookie quarterbacks starting their first game. Gave it to me because I took it, you know, with the Texans against the Jags. But something about it, it didn't feel that good to me. I liked that bet. And then I was like, oh, what do I do? Do I bet on Mac Jones? I'm looking at his completion chances. I'm like, they didn't really trying to like compare him and Cam to last year, seeing how often he would throw the ball. I didn't really like where the line was at. And I'm like, I might just not end up betting this game. There's just no lines that I like. And then I stumble upon something that I almost made my lock of the week. Damian Harris. I don't know a whole lot about his skill, nor do I really believe in it. What I do know is he'll have opportunity because there's not a whole lot of running back talent on that roster at all. And they've built their team to run the ball. So give me Damian Harris over 14.5 carries for +100. It's not that many carries
right,
for a team who signed two very competent blocking tight ends. They're competent in the pass game as well. But with the money they paid them, definitely there's going to be packages with them both on the field at the same time. And I don't know who else is getting these carries.
Yeah, so I didn't bet that as a single. I do have Damian Harris at least 15 carries as a part of a parlay I have.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, I'm a Mac Jones believer. I think the Patriots will make the playoffs this year, and you can roast me if that doesn't happen, but I do think they're a playoff team.
I don't disagree.
And but I just think there's going to be kinks to work out. And I think I feel like Tua caught a lot of flack for the season he had last year, but definitely, it really wasn't that bad for a rookie season.
It was just bad touchdown production. It was pretty much the
right starting end of it. But that Dolphins defense is also very good.
Yes, it is.
Which is why I'm like, taking the Finns money line.
I like their coaching staff. Everything in my mind said to take that Dolphins money line, but it just doesn't feel good to me at the end here. So we'll see what week one's always a calibration week. We'll see. This is a gut bet for me, or a gut not bet rather. And we'll see where my gut's at the end of this week, see if that was the right call or not.
Week one was always interesting in a, I guess you could call it like a fantasy-type league where each week you got to pick one team to win and you can't pick
the same
team.
Those twice. Are always fun. I like those.
And, like, week one was always the one I was the most terrified for.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
because you also don't want to be like, use the Chiefs week one.
Right.
Yeah, but one of the rare games that I'm not betting, we'll get to it. It's included in a little something later. But Bears at Rams, our Sunday night game. Bears catching 7.5 on the road. I think it's a Rams team everyone's in love with. 46.5 is the line. No, everyone expected last year the Andy Dalton versus Matt Stafford Bears versus Rams game.
Yeah, I didn't bet it.
It's going to be interesting. I'm excited to watch it for sure. But these new-look Rams are going to be I'm invested in that team, but not financially this week.
Same. I do love the Rams. I love Matt Stafford. As much as it pains me to say, I would give up the Packers winning the Super Bowl if that means Matt Stafford can win that.
Really?
He deserves it. I mean,
a lot of guys serve it.
Not like Stafford, though. Did you watch that Calvin Johnson interview weeks ago?
Yeah,
that just how bad that organization is. I just think, I don't know, Stafford, I think he's going to easily be a Hall of Famer. I just think he deserves one. I hope he wins. Not we'll this see. Year, just one in general.
Right.
Hopefully in a rebuilding year for the Packers.
I said it now that I realized these things separately, that both I wasn't betting any lines on this game and it was the Sunday night game. But saying them next to each other, I'll find a line by 7:30.
Oh yeah,
it's what do I do? Not
when your bets from the noon and 3 o'clock
right, games we'll hit know.
The account. It's
we'll know how it's going. Well, then quickly touching on. Well, I'll do this first. This is I don't know if this is gonna be a weekly thing or not, but this week I love it. This is my how could it possibly lose teaser of the week. Just tell me which one of these games. You could possibly see not hitting 49ers minus half a point. So the 49ers money line against the Lions. Giants plus 10 against the Broncos. We talked about that Broncos offense. Like they're going to score enough to beat the Giants by over 10. I don't see that. Chargers plus 6 at the football team. Again, that offense, this is maybe the weak point in it. You get like a Ryan Fitzpatrick game, but I just think that Chargers defense is going to be enough to keep that at least to be a very close game.
Right.
And finally, again, the Rams minus half a point. So the Rams money line against the Bears. With the Bears starting Dalton, it's a 7-point teaser. Some people say when you bet teasers, the only thing you're teasing is yourself. But it's plus 200. It feels automatic.
Yeah, I mean, the only game I'd be worried about if I were you is the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that's worrying me is how many people I see liking the football team, but that should really just make me like it more. I just believe in these Chargers this year.
Especially with how much the football team has just been just crapped on the last.
The Chargers can only get so hurt by week one.
Right.
Like, this is where they should be for an injury-prone team the last few years. This is where they should be at their strongest. They're at full strength for the first time, who knows how long.
Right.
And then we are, because our next episode is Wednesday, we're going to touch on the Monday night game as well. Ravens at Raiders. I bet the Raiders money line at +175 right when the news hit from practice that Gus Edwards went down, and then the very next play. Yeah, what's going on with these Ravens?
I mean, what, three ACLs and an Achilles total? Is terrible. That it or something?
I hate to see it. My heart goes out to those Ravens fans. just don't want to do it like this. So I doubt you can get +175 anymore. I'm not exactly sure what that line's at.
I checked this morning. I want to say it was 170.
Really? I mean, yeah.
I can actually pull it up here.
It's not like the Raiders are a bad team. Like, they're... It's first game in the new stadium. Like, this is, I'm excited to watch this game Monday night. You can absolutely get +170 right now.
Yeah.
The new Las Vegas stadium, it's going to be packed out. It's going to be energetic. It's going to be exciting. +175. Even if, like, you still believe in the Ravens, 175 is just value right there, week one. There's a lot of new pieces on that Raiders, or that Ravens offense. Including some offensive linemen and a team that led the league in rushing attempts last year. There's a stat I'm very aware of. I own several Raiders running, or I keep saying Raiders, Ravens running backs in several fantasy leagues. I drafted Gus Edwards. Like, I want to, whoever it is, I want to have that Ravens running back who's going to get the lion's share of the carries, because they're just going to, they don't have a choice to succeed pretty much.
Right.
It's just too much. Like, if you're skilled enough as a running back to make it in the NFL, you're skilled enough to run for 80 yards in a week in that Ravens offense. That's just the way the team's built.
Yeah, so I'm a Raiders faithful this year. They're actually, outside of the Cardinals, the only other team I bet on to win the Super Bowl. I am all in on the Raiders. And yeah, taking them on. I personally took them money line probably a month ago already, whenever the lines first came out.
Right.
And you know, I'm low on Lamar, and that defense got worse. Now even more worse. And now that offense also got worse. So I'm still taking the Raiders. I want to say I got them at like 230. Something like that, money line, when the Lions first came out.
The way it's going with the Ravens, though, Lamar might just have to mess around and run for 1,500 yards.
Right.
I mean, that just might be their offense.
Yeah.
Like, they already have, you know, injuries in their wide receiver core, which is kind of shaky to begin with. I did want to find, and I will find by Monday, a Sammy Watkins week one
30
line.
30-something, 38, 39.
Move it up to 180. It's week one Sammy Watkins.
It is week one.
It's automatic. Fantasy owners know that week one Sammy Watkins is a different beast, but the same animal. so, yeah, that is our NFL preview for week one. We couldn't be more excited. Before we let you guys recording Saturday night. This will be out very early Saturday night, Sunday morning. We will be highlighting an app called Jock Market tomorrow, or today, when you're hearing this. It's we did the symbol as the stock market for teams. This is the stock market for players. It's a little more complicated. There's an IPO phase where you bid on players who you want shares of. We'll be doing about the last 10 to 15 minutes of that IPO phase, bidding on the players that we want for, it'll be the noon slot, correct?
Yes.
For the noon slot of games.
No, they do all day.
We'll be all day. And we'll film it and we'll put it out as exclusively on the YouTube. It'll be a 10 to 15 minute video showing how the app works, showing who we like at what prices. And so, you know, it's weekly winners on YouTube. And if you guys like that, we're kind of considering maybe going live for the last 10 or 15 minutes of that IPO phase, because it's an app that we really like. We'll explain it a lot better in that exclusive video tomorrow. And we're just excited to, you know, get back into it. It really is the best with, we do it a little bit nappy, but it works best with football.
Yeah. Got that week one Sammy Watkins line for
okay,
you.
Okay, lay it on me.
The highest you can bump it up to is 111 receiving yards plus 903.
Might have to.
It did bump up from this morning when I looked. It's up to 41 is the
line.
Is the line currently. But yeah, you can, and that's minus 115.
I'll find something I like before Monday. Before we let you guys go, I don't want to touch quickly on college football, the day we just had. Ohio State gets upset after looking shaky in week one.
Yeah.
Gets beat by Oregon. I had an all-time bet, but I bet over 61.5 and 62-0, a final score.
Auburn.
And then the Auburn game. They really showed me. That was kind of my strategy this week. I also bet. You just see these massive spreads with like 50-point favorites. I think they're 55-point favorites. And then the over-under was 61.5. I think, well, if you think a team's going to win by over 50, like this over-under field. But that is where you get in trouble with college because teams will lay zero like they did in this game. But Ohio State, the big story, and this is the big question on my mind. Where are they going to be ranked next week?
They'll still be top 10.
And I that
mean, the Ducks were 12.
It's a massive problem in college football right now.
I don't know if it is. I think if they're 10, I'm okay with it.
This is the kind of thing. Clemson loses, right? They go down to 6. That was the hardest game on their schedule by a lot.
Right.
So what putting them at 6 says, if they win out, which shouldn't really be a problem for them with in the conference they're in with the rest of their schedule remaining – where's the world where they're not in the top 4? Like, someone's going to falter in that top 5.
But I don't necessarily think that's a problem. They lost to – if they lost – if your only loss is to another top 4 team
mm-hmm.
and you lost by one score, you still, in college football, very well could be a top 4 team.
Not if your name isn't Clemson. I think it's purely –
if Bama loses to Georgia, they're still in there.
But Bama will have other quality wins if it was just to Georgia. Clemson really won't.
That's fair.
Yeah, I just – my point is I think that they're they have to earn it. This, like, I don't care how many people are coming back and how good they looked last year. This isn't – this Clemson, it's college football. There's a ton of turnover. This isn't Clemson's team from last year, so they don't deserve to get the benefit of the doubt from last year. They have to earn it. And so maybe they blow out the rest of their schedule and they look outstanding and they truly make people believe that that week one was a fluke. Sure, they can build their way back, but like putting that 6 doesn't say they have to build their way back. I think it's too much of a reliance on these. Why are teams ranked before the first game? I think it's too much of a reliance on that because then you're using that as a benchmark. You're saying, hey, this team we know very little about. We're going to give them this ranking, and then they – but it's something to fall back on. Like, well, we were ranked in the top 4. Like, how could – we can't really fall that far. So, well, you're not falling at all. You're 0-1.
So, I guess your argument for Clemson, though, like, what do you think about Oklahoma? The Big 12 isn't what it – like, Texas football isn't Texas football of the early 2000s.
True. I just don't think – they're.
Like, it's not just Clemson.
It's not just Clemson. But that's the bit, like, just seeing them at 6 was kind of stood out to me. I was like, that's high. Like, how can you say right now? Because the ranking right now is in order of worthiness to make the final 4, to make the playoff. So we're saying after that week 1, Clemson more worthy than UCLA. They're 0-1. They shouldn't. They
right, but I mean, the thing is, like, Georgia's the pretty much unanimous second best team in college football, and you lost by a score.
Scored 3 points. I think that matters. If it's, I think that matters. If it's, if you lost 45-48, it was a duel. Like, you showed, you know, you're competent off of, and any team in the country can lose to Georgia. I promise you that. They're all capable of doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, six, like, I don't think you could be in the top 10 if you're 0-1. Just a personal opinion.
I just think there's too much of a skill gap in college football for you. Like, I just feel like there always has to be a one-loss team because they schedule just such big games.
Sure, they can be a one-loss team when they're
not. No, I'm saying an 0-1 team. They schedule so many big games week one that, like, I'd be willing to bet that Clemson is a top 10 NCAA football team. So.
Yeah, but they can finish. I have no problem with them being, you know, 10-1 and finishing in the top 10, the top 5, the top 4. But they shouldn't be there now.
Yeah, I just don't see a problem with it. There's just such a big skill gap in college football that.
But let's see that skill gap. Let's see him beat a team by 60.
And that's. But that's the thing. Like, that, if they don't schedule that Georgia game and they schedule a team like, you know, Toledo. I think Toledo's actually decent this year, but, you know, like one of those schools that doesn't, they need to schedule those SEC games. A loss by 7 to Georgia is better than beating some mid-major school by 60.
I think Clemson has the name recognition that they can, if they just go undefeated. Like, they have to put them in the top 4. Especially with the recent success.
Maybe.
It's a big risk that they take because, you know, we're in with the 4. You know, when it used to be 2, like, even one loss was detrimental. Now, one loss, you definitely, your season's not dead, but 2, we're not getting in with 2.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they're undefeated, one loss Ohio State, Big Ten champion, and an undefeated Oregon Pac-12 champion Clemson misses.
I think
a one loss Ohio State gets in over an undefeated Clemson.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think that means they don't get it.
They would put 2 SEC teams in over Clemson.
Who though?
Georgia and Bama.
But in this situation, wouldn't Clemson have beaten Georgia if they're undefeted?
No, I'm saying if they
scheduled
some mid-major school.
This is the thing that it's definitely should be. But because they're so good over the last, like, 3 years, I think they'd be like, how could you leave an undefeated Clemson out? I just don't think they'd do it.
I just think if there's a world in which they schedule a mid-major and you have an undefeated Bama, a one-loss Georgia, a one-loss Big Ten championship, Ohio State, and, like, an undefeated Oregon.
I think they put them in over Oregon.
I don't think so. Not with that Ohio State win.
Oh, you're saying – so in this situation, Clemson's schedule is different, but everyone else's.
Yeah.
You're saying if Oregon – well, if they have that Ohio State.
Because I'm saying it's advantageous for them to schedule that Georgia game. If I'm Clemson, I feel better about making the playoffs with, you know, 10-1 record and that one loss being a 7-point loss to Georgia than I do about 11-0 and beating some mid-major schools.
So where do you think Ohio State deserves to be ranked after this week?
10. Well, I guess I don't know how the rest of the game shook out. What did Iowa State lose by?
I guess that's right around where they're going to – what their debate is going to be by Iowa State.
Bama won, Georgia won. Those – they'll be 1-2. Oklahoma won 76-0. They'll move up to 3. A&M will move up to 4. Clemson will move up to 5. Oregon might be 5. Clemson might stay at 6. Cincinnati won. Notre Dame won. Iowa won. I think they'll be 9 or 10. Ohio State will.
They just haven't turned out a good performance yet.
Right, but it's the whole name recognition.
That's the thing. Is it's they're ranked in, you know, they're ranked at very high in the preseason rankings, which is like something to fall back upon, which is it benefits your school based on just a guess of how good you're going to be in the preseason.
So, but name recognition is the biggest detriment to college sports. March Madness, your previous success over your last decade is determined in bracketology.
Yeah.
And that's like the Badgers made those final fours. Mm-hmm. So you knew if the Badgers were 500, they were a lock.
Right.
For the end.
Hey, it's just so, hey, how do you do it? Like, it's completely ridiculous to choose the top four teams by opinion. But there's too many teams too uneven of conferences to do it any other way.
That's why I think there needs to be some sort of realignment or an expansion of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In my ideal world, I think I've said it on this podcast, all Power Five conference champs win, the best non-Power Five school, mm-hmm. and then two at large.
Yeah. Just the more you're in, like, then you can put Clemson in with one loss and be like, all right, like, let's see. Like, maybe you are, like, a fraud this year, but we don't have to exclude someone else.
Right.
It'll let you
in. And you give a school like this year, it's kind of looking like it'll be Coastal Carolina.
Right.
Like, I mean, it was UCF for what, 2-3 years in a row? You give those schools a shot. They keep saying they don't get one. Then you give them a shot. And two at large, you can still get probably three SEC teams then, because there's no doubt in anyone's mind. If there's eight teams, A&M, Georgia, and Bama would be in there.
Maybe it's 3 years after that's implemented, and it's still like Bama wins two championships and Clemson wins one. And it's like, yeah, well, I guess it didn't really matter. But
right.
Yeah, enjoy this full weekend of football. I know we have and will. And we will, from new schedule, our kind of NFL recap show will be on Wednesday. So, yeah, enjoy the football. We'll see you guys next time.